Good afternoon, Shadow Hills. We're back. It is Friday, April 17th, and hopefully this will be the last. We'll give you a weekend and give Kim a chance to heal up from all the bruises he's been getting. To show you how fluid this situation is, Wuhan has restated the number of deaths that were caused by the virus. It's up 50% from what they said before. So clearly, you know, there's so much unknown about this. And hopefully we're getting on top of it, but there's no guarantee. So, Kim, what's going on around here?
Good afternoon, everybody, and happy Friday. You know, watch a nice sunset, have a glass of wine, enjoy the weekend. I don't want to overstress the mighty Gus, so maybe I won't bother him over the weekend by sending out an e-blast message, but you never know. Let me first say it was interesting. I wrote a message this morning because I was reading through lots of little goodies, and I started to think about it, and the person that wrote this was true. Is that some have said this is the most remarkable act of global solidarity we may have ever witnessed in our lifetime. Think about it, an entire world is now working together toward one goal. And if it wasn't so doggone inconvenient, there's no question we would acknowledge it as something we will have never seen before. Pretty interesting stuff. Now, I did put on that, I talked to you about this graph the other day, put out by Riverside County Health, to talk to you about the mitigating measures and why. Because I know there's a lot of you, this mask thing's just totally inconvenient, which I totally get. It's inconvenient for everybody. It's not as inconvenient as somebody's death. That's really what it's coming down to for me. But if you look at that graph that I sent out, once again, you will see the difference between protective measures, mitigating measures, and non-protective measures. And the trick is, because the death rate is about the same, the trick is not getting cases. If you reduce the number of cases, you reduce the number of deaths. So by staying at home and wearing a mask, you go from 65,000 cases down to 18. And that's the trick. So in that capacity, I got to tell you, I think that the county, Dr. Kaiser, whatever your name is, he's a hero. This guy's trying very hard to keep this virus from climbing in Riverside counties when he's sitting right next door to L.A. Keep in mind, Riverside County is still on the upslope. We went up 200 cases yesterday. So until that curve turns. Now, California, as far as new cases, might appear, when you look at graphs, to have leveled a tiny bit. But deaths are still on the rise. So until that starts to turn, I don't see real fast that we all of a sudden say, oh, we're open for business. That doesn't seem like it's going to work to me. The board is watching it very close. We're trying to decide, you know, we will decide real fast what to do. The county order is good till April 30th. People have asked, does this mean on May 1 we're open for business? I don't know. The county order can easily be extended. So I'm expecting next week to either get something from the county saying what we can do or can't do, or they extend the order. Whatever happens, it's going to take a little bit to open the facility. This is like everybody says, you don't turn on a switch. Things will have to be thought out. Are we going to have exercise classes where people are close together? Probably not. We're going to have to limit that. Are people going to be able to, same number of people in the exercise room? Are we going to allow gatherings of people where they're close proximity? I mean, I think we have to use some caution here and make sure that people are okay. So hopefully next week I'll get you some information. Now, coming up, there'll be no open board meeting on the 27th of April. Just like before, the board will meet in closed session, but the open board meeting will be postponed because we don't want people, you know, to be in the room together. Now, we've got some people doing the pen pal thing. Remember I talked to you about if you want phone calls, you want to make phone calls, and people are saying, sure. So if you want to be a pen pal over the phone with somebody, contact me or contact Lifestyles and put your name in, and we'll make that happen. It's a pretty nice idea. Now let's go on to, Frontier. Okay, if you all have not read it yet, Frontier did file for bankruptcy. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I have met with their reps. As far as they're concerned, it's business as usual. It doesn't matter from the HOA's point of view. We are continuing to finish the contract negotiations with them, meeting with their legal people, and then at some point, we hopefully will have a contract signed. Now, what's kind of up in the air is the original install date was to begin on June 15th. The installation would take about 3 to 4 months. We're unsure that that install date is going to start on 6/15 at this point. Frontier's a little unsure about that, given the whole crisis thing. So we will let you know as we get closer what will happen. It will still take 3 to 4 months to install everybody once we start the install. So hypothetically, if we start 7/15 instead of 6/15, it'll take 3 to 4 months. If you're not on site or available because you're, you know, snowbird or at Canada or something, well, then you would make the appointment when you get back. That's all that would happen for that part. Now, somebody also asked, because they already have Frontier, would there be no delay and would the transition be seamless? Well, not really. Everybody's going to start the same time. So even though you might have Frontier at the moment, your transition is going to take place the same as everybody that on a schedule. We're scheduling everybody out over a three-month period. And more than likely, your router will have to be replaced. Most people do not have the router that can handle the speed that we have ordered for everybody, the 500 over 500. So keep that part in mind. Now, as far as masks, clearly, everybody knows what's going on. Security is in force. They've been instructed. There are no exceptions. If you don't have a mask on out there, they're going to cite you. Keep in mind, California had its worst day for deaths for this virus was yesterday. That's my point. It's climbing, and they're still trying to stop this thing. The best two ways, stay at home, wear a mask. Hopefully over soon, but we need to stay focused, stay on track, stay the course, persevere, use whatever you want, but it will work. It's a small inconvenience. We can handle this to keep it going. Now, as far as these citations, please don't get mad at the staff. They're just taking instructions from the board. So you don't have to get upset when they do that. And besides, if you get upset and start being abusive, that's an additional fine. You don't want to do that. And so some people, that's happened. So when the staff does ask you your name and address, we have rules that if you don't give it to them, that's a violation. That's another $200 fine. So the best way out of this is, okay, take your medicine, get your ticket. You can go before Covenants Committee, explain your situation, and if they want, they dismiss it. But if you don't cooperate, that's an additional ticket. You don't want to do that. So just put that aside. Staff's just doing their job. Now, as far as, you know, I've been called just about every name in the book, and I don't mind. I'll make a deal with you. You wear a mask, I don't care what you call me. You can call me a king. You can call me the mad scientist, a marshal. Call me late for dinner. I don't care. Just wear the mask, and you'll make me just a smiling, happy camper. I want everybody to know that that's the only part that really matters to the board. Now, in case you're wondering, I am just a spokesperson here. I have the pleasure of getting to talk to you on Kim's radio show, because the board elected me president. This is the fun part. None of these decisions are decided by me. I have very limited authority without this board. I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for their support. So far, it's been totally unanimous. We sit in a room and we talk over these measures. For the board, this all makes sense at the moment. We have a little bit of inconvenience, but we're doing everything possible to keep people alive. That's what's going on. That is their motivation, and that is their goal. The exceptions are just not going to win the day at the moment. Now, a word from our sponsor, because I didn't want to bore you. I had too long a message the other day, so I think I got most of my big things in there. Shadows. You folks, bless your hearts. You're doing great. Shadows is hanging in there. We got some people employed. That's wonderful. You know that they can do delivery, but they are changing their hours a tiny bit because people are not picking up anything between 7 and 8 p.m. So beginning 4:20, Shadows will be closing at 7 p.m. You still need to have your order in by 4 p.m., but you'll have to pick it up by 7 p.m. Delivery is by 6 p.m. So you'll need to deal, if you want delivery, you got to do that by 6. Now, a change that came up because of this is the regulatory body, I believe the ABC, which oversees alcohol, has changed the rules because of all these restaurants. They can't do sit-down dining. They are now allowed to have pickup for alcohol. You have to buy food. You can't just order wine and go pick it up. They're not allowed to do that. But they can also deliver some alcohol, but it depends. A manufacturer sealed drink, for instance, a bottle of wine, a beer in a sealed container, that can be delivered. What cannot be delivered is beer on draft, where they pour it in a cup. They may not deliver that. You would have to pick that up. But you could order, for instance, a margarita or a beer, and they put it in a container with a lid, no straw holes or anything, and then you can pick that up. So you can order drinks with your meal if you like. But if you want delivery, it has to be a manufactured sealed container. And that's beginning now, too. So that change just came about from the ABC. I will tell you, I'm going to order my prime rib tomorrow. This will be my third or fourth time. It's really good. So I'm telling you, if you like prime rib, that's where it's at. Take care on that one. My final little comments. I appreciate all the support. Truthfully, you nice people, I get your nice emails. It really helps a lot. It's 50-1. Most people here are supportive of these measures. Everybody is trying to work hard to make sure we're all safe. We're trying to dodge this crazy virus. And the best way to do it, we all just have to hunker down and go for a little while. We wear masks. We stay at home. We don't have parties. And it'll work. And since most of you who email me, it's not hard to keep track. I will tell you, if I put this out to survey, it'd be 50-1. People want these measures enforced because it's safer. I got an email from somebody who visited another HOA here. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Visited another HOA where they're now complaining because they're not enforcing the mask rule, and they said more than 50% of these people are not wearing masks. And it's making people extremely nervous. We don't need people feeling unsafe. We need people to say, we're going to make it past this thing. So stay healthy, stay safe, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. See you soon.
Thank you, Kim. Have a good weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.